with a preacher that forgets things sometimes. Amen. In your Bibles today, I would say wait just a little bit. We'll be there in a second. Some time ago, it seems like now, it's been about 3 weeks ago, we were in Psalms chapter 139. And as we went down through that portion of Scripture, we were reminded of several things. Number one, God knows everything. God knows everything. He knows every game we've ever played with Him. He knows every lie we've ever told Him. He knows every good thing we ever did in His name. And remember, He said that you couldn't even give, as a child of God, you can't even give a glass of water in the name of a prophet without receiving a prophet's reward. And so He knows everything. He knows. We're an open book to Him, and He can read it no matter what language it's written in. And then we found that He's in all places. He's in all places. Sometimes it seems like He's miles and miles and miles away, but He's in all places. He's closer to a child of God than they are to themselves. He dwells in the very center of us. And everything else gets kind of pushed aside that He can occupy that place. But sometimes He must seem kind of, it's a good thing He's not claustrophobic or He would leave us because we press down on Him so much. And then we learned that He has all power. All power. There's not a thing that God can't do unless He limited Himself by this book. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Oh, thank God He cannot lie. And there's some other things He can't do, but only the things that He's limited Himself to. He has all power. Jesus said all power is given Him in heaven and in earth. Based on that is how we know we have a missions program. He says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Jesus said. Well, as David closes this portion of Scripture in the Word of God, he makes a request to the Lord. After having boasted on Christ and lauded Christ and exalted Christ and praised Christ, he comes down to the last two verses of Psalms 139, and that'll be our text today. Those in that portion, he's going to tell us how he wants the Lord to help him to stay close and in a correct relationship with both him and his people. He wants to speak to the Lord and the Lord to speak to him about, listen, here's the title of the message, A Matter of the Heart. A Matter of the Heart. Psalms chapter number 139. We're just about through with this wonderful book, and I've been wondering what we're supposed to do after this. So far, oh yes, Brother Sutton didn't listen to his own note. See there how that works? Thank you. Amen. I was just checking you out, Brother Nathan, see if you'd... No, that's not true. I wasn't checking you out. I just got checked out myself, and I flunked. Well, I sort of say, I don't know what I'm going to do when we get through the book of Psalms. God hasn't told me anything yet. Maybe he's saying, you won't be preaching past the book of Psalms. That could happen. None of us have immortality. But let me say this. If Brother Sutton passes, and you hear about that, and someone say, well, Brother Sutton's dead, you say, no, 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 you're wrong. He's more alive today than he's ever been in his entire life. And so I'm happy with what the Lord describes or abscribes or prescribes in that matter. Psalms 139, beginning in verse number 23, King David writes this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we look at this portion of Scripture, David says, all the things that I wrote about before, and all that I'm asking God to do for me now, is really a matter of the heart. Notice with me in verse number 23, he says, search me, O God. Now, he had already asked God to do that or had experienced God doing that. If we back up to verse number 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me, past tense, thou hast searched me and known me. And so he's already experienced this searching of God in his heart. And we don't know if it came out, don't know a lot about the search. We don't know if it came out bad or came out good. But he does acknowledge that he has been searched, and he does ask God to search him again, and I think that's notable. And so the question for us today would be this, I believe. Have we asked God lately to search our hearts? Have we asked God lately to let us know what's going on? We know that the Bible teaches that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And so here in our text, he says, search my heart and know my heart. Only God can really know our heart. And we are a fool who thinks that we really know our own heart. We don't know. We don't know. The Bible, again, quoting Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You were born with a wicked heart. So was I. And only God can control that. And then he says, try me. Try me. Give me the test. Check me out. See where the weak places are at. I used to think that the teachers enjoyed those big red check marks when they put them on my paper. But then I was told several times, and later on I began to kind of believe it, that they don't give us a test to find out what we're good in. They give us a test to find out where we need help. And when we ask God to try us, that's what we're doing. We're saying, Lord, I know I need help in different areas, and I want you to try me. I want you to test me so that I'll know what I need to allow you to work on. Let me ask you this question today. Are you willing for the Lord to try you? Are you willing to allow the Lord to put you to the test, to really prove you what kind of metal you're made out of, what kind of character you really have? Are you willing for God to drop you into a situation and Him being with you for sure, for certain, never leave us, never forsake us, but see how we would respond in those given situations? David said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me. And then he says, and know my thoughts. Now he's already done that before too, because back in verse number 2, he said, Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. And so here he says, and know my thoughts. He had already gone through there. David knew that there was nothing that you could hide from God. You couldn't hide anything from Him. And so it's just better if we just submit to Him and admit to Him and commit to Him. It's just a better life if we do those things, because He already knows anyway. And we need to come to that thought and that rest. Perhaps David's thoughts had changed since verse number 2, and now he's writing here in verse number 23, and maybe his thoughts have changed somewhat, and he wants to get those checked out by the Lord. He knew the Lord answered understood his thoughts afar off, but you know, just because God understands our thoughts doesn't mean that God agrees with our thoughts. Sometimes we're quick to say, well, God knows. Yes, God knows, but does God agree? Now, let me say something emphatically and definitely, if you don't catch anything else. If what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're saying is contrary to this book, God does not agree with it. God does not agree with anything that goes contrary to this book. Excuse me. And so we need to understand David had a desire. In verse number 24, the Bible says, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Now we know from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9 that our thoughts are, our heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. We need to understand that. And don't get all puffed up and say, not my heart, because God says every man's heart, every person's heart is. And when you start talking to people about the wickedness of their life and where they would be without the restraints of God upon their life, sometimes folk get bowed and bent and upset and mad and so forth. It doesn't matter. You can kick and squeal. You might have caused mama to submit. You might have caused the teachers to submit. You might cause the law enforcement to submit, the judges to submit. But listen, God's not going to change His mind on that. God said our hearts are deceitful and that they're desperately wicked. And because any sin is wicked, because it grows. Sin is like mold. You see a spot of mold in a windowsill. You see a spot of mold on the edge of your closet. You see a spot of mold somewhere. Well, it's just a little spot of mold. I'll get back to that. And if you don't get back there real soon, you find out that little spot of mold has taken over your closet. That little spot of mold has ruined your carpet. That little spot of mold has eaten a hole through the paint on your window. That's the way sin is. Sin has to be dealt with, and it's easier dealt with when it first begins, when it first starts. We need to deal with sin, and the only way we can do that is to allow the Lord to do that. And then we see here that David is not using this as an opportunity to get after someone else. I preached a message a while back at visiting another church, and a man came up to me later and said that I had a bully pulpit, whatever that is. And I said, well, was I preaching the Word of God? And he said, well, yeah, sort of, kind of. And I said, well, then I'm not worried about being a bully. But he said, you have a bully pulpit. But here we find that the Bible testifies that David knew where he was, he knew who he was, knew what he was, and David knew he needed the help of the Lord. And we can agree with that or disagree with it, but it's still the truth. In verse 24, he says, to see if there be any wicked way in me. And then note when David said in verse number 23 and 24, six different times he uses a personal pronoun. And he doesn't say them or they. He uses the personal pronoun, a singular personal pronoun. He says, search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, lead me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me. Six different times, that's the number of man. Six different times he used the personal pronouns, me and my. Paul is saying, or excuse me, David is saying, Lord, I'm talking about me. I'm not trying to shuck this off on somebody else and use them as an excuse and whatever. He said, I'm talking about me. I need your help, Lord. It's me. It's me that needs your help. I'm not talking about the deacons. I'm not talking about other preachers. I'm not talking about the people in the pew. Lord, it's me. How long has it been since you told the Lord you wanted him to operate with you like you've asked him to operate on everybody else? How long? How long? Well, David says, it's me. That agrees with what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament in Romans chapter 17 or 7 and verse number 18. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And so sometimes we're so busy judging everyone else's lives that we forget about our lives. And our lives are the only ones we have any real control over. And so we need to talk to the Lord sometimes about that. David trusted the Lord to check him out. David desires the Lord to be his leadership. Every one of us is following someone or something. Every one of us. David knew the victories of following the Lord Jesus. We today are living in a nation that has forgotten, I guess is more proper English. We have forgotten about following the Lord, as a great number of our population has done that. David knew in Psalms 23 and verse 2, he says, he, the Lord, leadeth me beside still waters. Are all the waters in your life choppy and in a storm all the time? Maybe it's because you're following the flesh. Maybe it's because you're following the world or the devil. You know, we all have those three enemies, and they fight us all the time. And if our world is always in a storm, always in an upheaval, it seems like we can't see the Lord. It seems like we can't hear the Lord. It seems like we can't sense His presence. Maybe it's because we're not following like we ought to. He said, He leadeth me beside still waters. You know, sheep won't drink from running water. Did you know that? A sheep will lay down beside a river and die of thirst. You'll never drink of the rivers of this world and be satisfied. It'll never happen. In fact, just kind of off message for just a little bit, but the wise shepherd would take his crook and he'd either bail the water out and make a pool somewhere for the sheep to drink out of, or he'd cut a little ditch and bring it out and cause a place where the water would be still so that the sheep could drink. this, and if your waters are always rushing, if your waters are always in an upheaval, it's not God's fault. It just simply means you're not following him like you should. In Psalms 23 and verse number 3, it says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." For his name's sake. God's not going to lead us to do things contrary to his word. So many times people come and say, God's led me to do this. God's led me to do that. And I say, do you have a chapter and a verse for that? And usually they'll get angry. God doesn't lead us anywhere but in the paths of righteousness. If we're in a path of unrighteousness, it's not God's fault. He didn't lead us there. We left the leader and we started following something besides what we ought to follow. And it never turns out well. Well, we at different times think about different aspects of the heart. We think of heart attack. We think of heartache. We think of heartburn. We think if you've got dogs, you've thought of heartworm. Think of heartthrob. Oh, it's been a long time since I heard that term, heartthrob. He's my heartthrob. She's my heartthrob. Oh, yeah, okay, that's another time. And then heart murmur. We've heard a heart murmur. We've known people who had those. Brother Mays just went through a real problematic time with that. And then we have cliches, a world of cliches about the heart. Somebody is envious of you, you say, eat your heart out. Have you heard that one? And then someone says, that's a true, I promise. I promise from the bottom of my heart. I promise. And then someone says, someone will tell you something you don't want, and you'll say, oh, come on now. Have a heart. And then we talk about how quick we're going to do something. We're going to do it in a heartbeat. I promise we're going to do it in a heartbeat. And then how about when somebody thinks that they're suffering, that just nobody suffered like them since Jesus was on the cross, and they're just feeling sorry for themselves, and you go, my heart bleeds for you. We say that often. And then somebody says, no, I'm not going to, and then the next day they say, I'm going to, and you say, hey, yesterday you said you weren't going to, now I had a change of heart. I had a change of heart. And then someone says, I really want that. Maybe when we were coming home yesterday by the grace of God and Miss Weaver driving us home, she was our chauffeur yesterday, we were passed by the most beautiful Corvette. Did you see that red and black Corvette that passed us? Mrs. Weaver saw it. My wife saw it. I said, did you see that black and red Corvette that passed us? My wife said, wow, what a beautiful car. But my heart isn't set on that anymore. There was a time when it was, would have been, but not anymore. My heart's set on that. And then if we learn something, we're instructed to learn things, to learn the Bible. Learn it by heart. Learn it by heart. Put it in your heart so you can keep it. And then pouring out your heart. Someone's just telling you and telling you and telling you. They take a 3-minute story and it takes 2 hours to tell. Come on, just pour out your heart. Come on, empty it out. We do that sometimes. And then the sad one is when someone loses heart. They just give up. Just give up. That happens to animals. Happens to people. They just give up. Well, David wanted his heart to stay in fellowship with the Lord, and he knew also that really life in itself is a matter of the heart. Notice verse number 23 again. He says, my heart. Let's consider some things today about my heart, your heart, my heart. Let's consider some things about that. Well, first off, we know that there is one thing on earth that is the discerner of a person's heart. There's one thing that can detect every wrong thing in our heart, and we ought to subject our heart to that. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick, means it's alive, and it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, I believe that's one reason more Christians don't spend more time in the Bible, because it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. We can say, I'm doing this because of such and such, and we pick up the Bible, it says, no, you're really doing it because of thus and so. And so we just, rather than change what we're doing, we just disallow the book and walk away with it. Well, the Bible is a discerner of the heart. Psalms 119, verse number 30, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. People who can't put two and two together. People who can't build, can't bake, can't do anything really. When they get into the Word of God, God's Word makes the simple wise. The whole book of Proverbs was written for that purpose, to give subtlety to the simple. And so David knew that his heart was able to get out of fellowship with the Lord. But so is my heart. So is your heart. And when it gets out of fellowship with the Lord, it's not soon before it'll get out of fellowship with other people. We need to let God check out our heart sometimes. And he does that with the Word of God. And then not only do we see the heart's discerner, but we see the heart's diagnosis. We know the heart is deceitful. God told us that. Go in your Bibles. Keep your place here because we'll be back. But go in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at beginning in verse number 19. Well, I'll tell you what, if I didn't believe the Bible, I'd be real nervous to hear all those pages turning. That's music to a fundamentalist's ears. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 19, the Bible says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And if you were to count those, you'd find out that there are seven things mentioned there. Seven in God's word is a number of perfection. Listen, our hearts are desperately wicked, Jeremiah said, and it's covered in the New Testament in the book of Matthew. Go over to the Gospel of Mark, if you will, please, chapter number 7. One more chapter or one more book in your Bible to chapter number 7. Mark chapter 7. Keep going. I'll do this, okay? Thank you. Mark chapter number 7, and we want to begin reading in verse number 20. The Bible said, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now, if you were to count those, you'd find that that's 13. 13 in God's economy is the number of confusion. When the world tells you, follow your heart, they're asking you to go to a perfect place that's wicked, or a place of perfect wickedness would probably be a better way to say that, and a place of absolute confusion. No wonder our families are falling apart. No wonder parents don't know who owned their kids, who's in control of their kids. No wonder legislators can do things without legislating. They just do them. No wonder our country is in such a mess. Too many people are following our hearts. And we've all been guilty of that sometime or another. God help us. And then we see the heart's depravity. In Mark 7, 23, we already read that. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't continually think wicked things, wicked things, wicked things, wicked things, wicked things, and not start doing wicked things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then the verse continues and says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Matthew 12 and verses 34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Left to itself, your heart, left to itself, will lead you to bad places. It'll lead you into trouble. It will, left to itself. And then we see not only the heart's diagnosis and the heart's depravity, but we see its demonstration. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, we're going to look at verse number 13 and 14. But if you go clear back to the first part of chapter number 8 and read the whole thing, God is saying, I'm going to take you to a place, and I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do this for you. And you're going to get all raised up in yourself because my blessings are going to lead you to go away from me. You're going to take my blessings for granted. You're going to go away. And he says, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, all we have to do sometimes to see a person's heart, you know, you go in today, and I remember laying on that bed and watching that monitor as they ran that scope up into my heart. They looked at my heart from the inside. But listen, you can see my heart from the outside by the things I do, by the way I talk, by the friends I have, by the things I won't do, by what I converse about, my conversation, my music. All those things are a picture of my heart. It demonstrates my heart. It demonstrates my heart. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 35, the angel came to the Virgin Mary and told her she was going to have a son. And I'm sure it was quite a shock to her and her situation and everything. But that besides, as he was talking to her, he said this about her having a son. He says, and yea, a sword shall pierce thine own soul also. Speaking about the death that Jesus was going to suffer. How he died on the cross so sinners like you and I could be saved. Jesus was before he was born, he was going to the cross of Calvary, going to shed his blood, going to rise again from the grave, all for us sinners. And that's why when someone says, well, I've never done anything that bad, or I've done everything good I can, and that is aggravating to God. That is discouraging to God, because there's none that have done good enough to get to heaven. And so he explains that to her by saying, yea, and a sword shall pierce thine own soul also. Here's the reason, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, it shows us the wickedness that's in the heart of lost man. Now, the devil doesn't take advantage of that all the time. He doesn't make every lost man a drunkard or a wife beater or a dope addict or some kind of a pedophile or something. He doesn't do that to everybody. That'd be bad for business. But if he wanted them to, they'd be that. The Bible says the devil takes them captive. They're taken captive by him at his will. And that demonstrates the wickedness of our heart. And then there's the heart's doctoring. How do we doctor a heart that is so messed up? How do we doctor that? Well, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep means to protect it. Watch what you put into your heart. Put into your heart that which is good. Listen, they get on television, they come out with ads, they stick them in your mailbox and everything with things telling you what to do to have a healthy heart. Let me tell you, you cannot have a healthy heart without this. You cannot have a healthy heart without the Word of God. So the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Means works at it. Psalms 51 and verse number 10, The psalmist prays, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, clean my heart. Clean my heart. There comes a time when you just have to get the professionals to come do it. I mean, the amateurs, the beginners, the once-a-weekers and so forth, they have all good intention, but they can't clean your heart. And there's no pill you can take. There's no elixir that you can drink. There's nothing that'll clean your heart but the Word of God and the power of God. And so the Bible says, created me a clean heart. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 says, behold, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence before God. So when our heart's clean, man, when your heart's clean before God, you can walk straighter, you can stand taller, you can bend lower, you can do more, you have more satisfaction in your life when your heart's clean, when you've allowed Dr. Jesus to take care of it. And then John chapter 15 and verse number 3 says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. This book is the Roto-Rooter for your heart. This book is the septic pump for your heart. This book is the thing that'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness as it leads you to the blood of Christ. And then there's the heart's defense. Once our heart is clean, once we've come to the Lord and He's cleaned our heart, we're clean, we've been born again, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How do we stay clean in such a dirty world? You know, Mama will put brand new fresh clothes on the child and say, now when you go out and play, have a good time, but stay clean. Mama, you just said a paradox. Have a good time, stay clean. It doesn't work. And listen, by ourselves, we can't stay clean either. And so God tells us in Psalms chapter 119, beginning in verse number 9, He asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. And you see, life lived to please the Lord really is a matter of the heart. Let's bow our heads, please.